Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are going to go in depth with Ward 1 representative on the Hastings City Council, Tina Fulch. And we welcome her once again to KDWA. How have you been?
Hi, Mo. I'm doing terrific. Just got back from a quick run outside, and I got to say, the weather was wonderful. Even if it's a little chilly, it's better than the sub-zero temps that might be coming this way.
No kidding. Well, I know that the council is still meeting virtually, and I know there's talk to continue doing that until it's safe for people to get back together. But right. How do you think that's working, people on Zoom?
You know, it took a little bit of an adjustment to get used to that because it is a bit of a different format, but I actually think it's going really well. I think it gives an opportunity for us to actually have a good dialogue. We can see each other's faces mm-hmm. and expressions all at once, and we're respectful of, you know, dialogue and making sure that the mayor is able to recognize us. And, you know, it's just become more of a routine, and so we know how to function in this environment. And, you know, and I think that it's a good opportunity for the public to also be able to be engaged. You know, they can pull it up, they can watch it live on, you know, and they could stream it. And if they want to ask questions, you know, they could, you know, just log into the meeting and put in, to request or speak. And so I think that it's a good opportunity. You know, people get intimidated about having to come down to City Hall and sit in the audience or get up at the podium. And so I think that this provides a new and different ability for folks to engage if they would so choose.
You know, I agree. I think it's just fabulous. So thank you for doing all you're doing. So on February 1st, you had a council meeting. Tell us what was on the agenda at the meeting and what was some of the feedback, please.
Sure. Well, one of the regularly scheduled items that we were to talk about was an update from our Minnesota Department of Transportation on Highway 316. We have a safety improvement project that is going to begin and go underway this upcoming summer, where it's going to be the segment of Highway 316, which, you know, starts at Highway 61 in town here next to the ice rink, and then, you know, extends down past Tuttle. And in that project, if folks haven't heard, they are going to be placing three new mini roundabouts, as they're calling them, to aid for traffic flow so that folks are able to take safe left-hand turns to also considerably slow down traffic through the residential area there. And so real quick, we've had four community meetings to be able to discuss the plans as they were progressing, and we were able to secure the funding for it. It's going to be a total of a $7.6 million construction project, and so there is, you know, considerable improvements that are going to be going on, not only just the roundabouts, but they're also going to be placing trails along what would be the east side of Highway 316, and then a part of the west side, you know, near where the Colburn's grocery store mall area is there. There'll also be a trail on the left-hand side. And so we're excited that it's moving forward. We were very grateful that the legislature did pass a $1.5 million bonding bill, but that money could only be used for the trail system. And so in the end, a little over $1 million from the legislature is going towards the project. And then the city is covering $800,000 of the expenditures out of our city state aid, and then another $300,000 for the city's utilities. And then MnDOT is picking up the lion's share, about $5.4 million. And so it is a major project, Mo, mm-hmm. that's coming underway.
And how long has this been in the works?
Oh, geez. We started having community meetings a couple years ago now, where we preliminary had, you know, discussions about, they had, I want to say that there was four options that MnDOT floated to receive comments on. And then it came down to where we're at now in the end, that the engineers felt that it provided the best options. And, you know, unfortunately, the one thing that I know that residents that live on 316 directly are not happy with is that a median will be placed within 316, you know, between, you know, where the dealerships are, that's where the car dealerships are, in that vicinity right there. That's where the median will begin, and then it'll run down all the way past where Tuttle Street is. And it will prevent folks from being able to freely take left-hand turns, which will be a small inconvenience. It'll, you know, add a minute or two onto people's commutes if they have to go down past where they want to take a left turn and then take a roundabout and come back up the other way. And so that's the one downside of the project. But otherwise, the upside is that it's going to substantially bring to a halt the number of crashes that we're having along that segment of highway. It's just a very high crash area where people are trying to take left-hand turns and they try to, you know, jet out and they don't have a clear path, or, you know, folks, sometimes they even accidentally veer off to the right because the shoulder, there's not a great shoulder there and going into the ditches and such. And so it's just not a safe environment, not only for motorists, but also pedestrians. People haven't had a safe means to, you know, walk or bike along Highway 316 there. And so we're really hoping for the small inconvenience of time that it causes, that people will value the safety features that are going to be brought into the community with this new project.
Well, tell us about the timing, please.
Sure. Well, MnDOT's hoping to put it out for a bid shortly and receive bids back in March, I want to say. Construction would begin this summer. A lot of the final details will be provided once it's awarded to an actual contractor and they can, you know, figure out schedules and all of that. It was interesting. What they had presented was they think that they'll work on that segment in four pieces, but they weren't certain about how the phasing would happen. Unfortunately, they will be closing off Highway 316 starting there, then, you know, right at Highway 61 as you're going south of town. And so the highway will be blocked. And they will be allowing residents to be able to get in there so that they can get back to their homes and such. But for traffic in general that is hoping to go southbound, they'll have to stick on Highway 61 and then come around. Either if they're like going down to Welch or Red Wing, they'll have to go, you know, all the way down to 61 and catch it going across that way. Otherwise, there will be some inconveniences for residents who live on the south side of that residential area, like in the Tuttle neighborhoods. And so that is a little concerning. It will add on, the MnDOT engineer had said, it'll add on maybe 5 to 7 additional minutes onto people's route to be able to get back to their homes and their neighborhoods. And so that's the inconvenience that will be coming this summer, you know, for those residents, which, you know, I feel their pain, but geez, I sure hope that the benefits in the end of this project being implemented will be well worthwhile, like I had said. There's more to come, you know, on that. MnDOT had said that they are trying to figure out a communication strategy, how to give the residents within those neighborhoods enough notice. They are hoping to have an open house. And if we can't do open houses, you know, with the COVID, that they're looking at, you know, what are some of the other media, you know, means that they can use, if it's, you know, live Zoom conference calls, or maybe they'll do videos, or they didn't really disclose a lot, but they're trying to think through how it is that they can do public education as to how it is people are going to have to be able to move around that area.
Well, you're doing a great job of getting the public aware of what's going on, so we thank you for that.
Something else we talked about is the city. We are working hand in glove with our restaurants and other businesses in, you know, due to the, you know, the COVID pandemic, and then the restrictions that mostly, you know, the restaurants and bars are having on being able to have, you know, people with safely with inside of their walls. And so what we're looking at doing this summer is something a little bit different. If you remember, if you had an opportunity last summer to get down to our 2nd Street downtown area for the summertime, we had closed off on the weekends a section of the 2nd Street there, and that was to allow for the restaurants to have outside patio areas. Did you get a chance to get down there and see it yourself, Mom?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
It was great that we were able to try to be flexible and help our restaurants in providing these patio areas. And so what we've decided to do is not close that portion, that first block that we like to refer to down on 2nd Street, and we're going to try something different. We're going to try to allow those restaurants to have what we're calling quote-unquote parklet. So it's a new concept, and we're looking at changing our ordinance so that the restaurants and bars, and we're going to actually open it up to stores too if they're interested, and they could make an application to use 2 of the parking spaces on the downtown Main Street where they could construct a parklet. And Parklet is a seating area, but it's generally more of a raised platform that has railings on it to be able to block off from traffic a seating area. And so, like I had said, we've been working with mostly the Downtown Business Association members at this point, because that's really the only section of the city where the city actually owns the street right in front of these businesses. And so we've been trying to work with them and find some concessions so that they can still use those parking spaces and have outside patio areas that are safe. But we want to try to get away from having to close down the main street to allow the public to be able to move more freely through the downtown. From this last summer, we received a lot of feedback from stores down there where customers were saying they thought that the second street was under construction, and they didn't know that it was actually open down there when they saw all of the road barriers, the blockades that, you know, that we had had erected, you know, to stop traffic. And so what we're trying to prevent is confusion about downtown is open and we want visitors to come downtown and to be frequenting, you know, the restaurants downtown and bringing commerce to our community. And so we're trying to figure out a solution that's a lot more friendly, not just, you know, for the restaurants, but then also for all the other stores that are downtown so that their customers also feel free to, you know, come in and visit the downtown area.
So, Tina, what if every business downtown wanted a parklet? You mentioned that businesses get two parking spaces. Would there be any place to even park downtown?
Good question. And the city has a new economic coordinator. His name is Eric Moss. And so he took the time to ask businesses that are in the downtown, you know, who would all be interested in having, you know, a parklet patio area. And it was mostly just the restaurants that were interested in it. We have 8, if I'm not mistaken, restaurants, and then plus our, you know, Sparrow Brewery in the downtown area. And so they were all interested. They all participated last summer, except for the Lock and Dam Eatery, because they have their own sidewalk cafe area. But otherwise, the rest of them, they all had the opportunity to use, you know, a portion of the street, you know, to expand their outside areas. And so they're all interested in doing that again this summer. I can't remember if just a couple of stores had indicated that they would be interested in doing that. And so we don't see a scenario where we would be completely using up all the parking spaces in the downtown on the second street, that is.
And then as far as the parklets go, how are those funded?
Good question. At this point, we've been trying to figure out how it is that we can provide some grant funding, you know, to help support our local businesses. I'm telling you, Mo, we've been trying so hard to work hand in glove with our business community to come up with solutions, you know, that help our restaurants and bars stay afloat and other small businesses, but, you know, and particularly these ones that have had their capacities limited in such a drastic way. And so Hastings Economic and Redevelopment Authority, which is called HEDRA for short, it's kind of like a section of the city, but it's a little bit of a standalone. And so HEDRA has appropriated $40,000 to be used for grants to be distributed to those restaurants mostly, if they're interested in applying for a grant to erect a parklet. And so staff are putting together some recommendations for what that grant program may look like. HEDRA meets next week on Thursday, which I want to say is like February the 11th at 6 o'clock. Staff are promising to have more details of a proposal ready for the HEDRA members to take into consideration at that time.
And then it would be up to each individual business to erect their own parklet?
Yes, that's the idea. The staff want to be out of the business of having to arrange for barriers and things of that nature for businesses. They would rather give a grant to the business to be able to erect their own, you know, parklet as they so choose. And then it would be the ownership and responsibility of the business owner then to store those materials, you know, over the winter and to take care of them, that the city is having the responsibility to the maintenance of all of those materials as they're being used for private use. And so we've received good feedback so far with the businesses that are interested in doing this. You know, Mo, a lot of our restaurants, and this is no surprise, are on their knees. They're really suffering, you know, financially. And so I had asked during our meeting for staff to take into consideration the fact that some of them are just hanging on and praying for this to lift as soon as possible. And so I would prefer personally that small grants be given that could at least cover a basic parklet, and then if restaurants wanted to put in additional funds more than that, you know, to make it fancier, and that was their choice, I really hope that we're able to find some kind of compromise so that it doesn't preclude any of the restaurants who are already in such financial dire straits from being able to, you know, participate and have a parklet if they so want one.
Is there a blueprint that each business would be able to follow? I would assume there are guidelines and restrictions for what it can and can't be.
Well, what staff are trying to provide within the ordinance is some guidelines for what the minimum standards will have to be for the parklet. You have to be fenced off with actual fencing or planters, and then, you know, what the setbacks will be, you know, for that. And then staff will have to approve each individual parklet application. It's really going to be up to the individual business owners, since they're going to actually have ownership, you know, over the parklets as to what they want to do. I think it would be absolutely fabulous if they worked together and, you know, brought in a contractor that builds parklets, and they work to have some uniformity to the parklet so that they have a theme or a, you know, a look, you know, to go along with it. But at this, staff aren't being heavy-handed in requiring that they look in any particular way, shape, or form.
Tina, thank you so much. If people want to get a hold of you, how could they do that, please?
Sure. You know, folks can always give me a call on my cell phone if they want. I can be reached at 651-304-0652. Again, that was 651-304-0652. Or just go to the city's website, and under the city council, we have our contact information there as well, which is hastingsmn.gov.
Tina Folt, she is Ward 1 representative of the Hastings City Council, and we so appreciate your time. Tina, thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.